It's amazing what God did with this group of 120 disciples. The odds could not have been more against them. The religious and political leaders wanted them dead, so they were scared and hiding and locked away in the upper room. But things were about to change. This unlikely bunch would soon turn the world upside down because of the power they would receive at Pentecost.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, we heard the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message defining the mission Christ set for His church just before ascending to glory, the mission that was to be carried out in anticipation of His return. In this part of the message, Pastor Grant showed us from Scripture where the power would come from to carry out that mission, and he challenged us with the requirements that are necessary in order for the church to effectively carry out that mission. This week, in continuation of his series on the book of Acts, Pastor Grant takes us to Pentecost and the awesome coming of that power, the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Here's Pastor Grant.
John Wimber was a product of the Jesus movement in the 60s. He got saved in a dramatic way, and he began reading the Gospels, and then he continued reading in the book of the Acts. He was so excited about what he was reading until he went to church. The service was cold, it was polite, it was dry. At the end, John Wimber looked at some of the people beside him and asked, "When are you going to do the stuff?" "What stuff?" they asked. He says, "You know, the stuff. When are you going to do the stuff?" He had been reading about the mighty power of God and the movement of God in the early church, and he was expecting when he came to church that he would see some sign of this mighty movement of God. And would to God that when we come to church, we're expecting to see some stuff. Oh, you say, "Brother Brian has gone Pentecostal in us this morning." In fact, I'm entitling a series, the series as we continue in the book of the Acts, I'm entitling the messages for the next several weeks, "Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church." And I believe these messages are very relevant today, at a time when our society seems to be rotting, at a time when the church seems to have run out of power. God would remind us of what he did with a small ragtag bunch on the day of Pentecost. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, that the God of Pentecost is still the God today, and he's able to do it again. It's amazing what God did with this group of 120 disciples. The odds could not have been more against them. The religious and political leaders wanted them dead, so they were scared and hiding and locked away in the upper room. But things were about to change. This unlikely bunch would soon turn the world upside down because of the power they would receive at Pentecost. And this power is available to us today. Unfortunately, some Christians don't emphasize Pentecost. We emphasize Bethlehem, and we talk a lot about Calvary, and rightly we should talk about Bethlehem, and rightly we should talk about Calvary, but we also need to talk about Pentecost. Amen? Bethlehem signifies God is with us. Calvary signifies God is for us. Amen? But Pentecost signifies God is in us. Just imagine that God lives in us. Sometimes I think the thrill we ought to get from the realization that the Almighty God is resident in the body of everyone who knows Jesus Christ the Savior, sometimes I think we miss it. Pentecost is a festival that occurred 50 days after the Passover. And since Jesus was crucified at Passover, it was now just about 50 days later. And the tension was still in the air. You can just imagine. Remember, now there was a lot of drama. And I'm so glad we're doing Acts following the Gospel of Matthew, because we finished recognizing all the drama and the tension that was in the air. The religious leaders wanted him dead. The political leaders wanted him dead. And they conjured up all of the stuff and they killed him illegally. And you can imagine there was a lot of drama and tension in the air as people from all over the world gathered for this particular Pentecost celebration. Now, they tell us that Pentecost draws the largest crowds. Pentecost is one of the three large Jewish festivals, and Pentecost had the largest crowds. Why? Because the weather was the best at Pentecost. And just like us, you know, whenever it rains, you don't expect to see most people in church. Am I right about that? So Pentecost was at the best time weather-wise, and so the place was jam-packed. Little did they know that God was about to unfold an incredible drama. The Holy Spirit was about to arrive. And today, as we discuss this drama, I want to share three key things about the Holy Spirit. Number one, I want to talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus had promised his arrival. Let's turn, for example, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm going to have you bouncing a little bit between the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel of John this morning. And fortunately, they're not too far apart. But John's Gospel, chapter 14, just the book before, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. Here's what Jesus is speaking, and he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, or some versions would say another comforter, to be with you forever. Notice that. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Don't miss that. But then in John's Gospel chapter 16, Jesus, in verse 7 of John's Gospel chapter 16, Jesus went on, he says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So here we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, I know you feel very special. I know you feel empowered because I am here. But he says, listen, I am going to send you another counselor, another comforter, one just like me. The Bible says that Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, some people, the disciples couldn't believe that there could be anything better. I wonder if you realize how blessed we are today. That Jesus left but sent his Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, if Jesus was in Philadelphia, the poor folks in New York didn't have him. But now that Jesus has left and sent his Holy Spirit, the folks in Philadelphia, we have him living in us. The folks in Kenya, amen, Brother Courage, they have him too if they know Jesus. The folks in the Dominican Republic and in Jamaica and in Cuba, all over the world, Jesus is saying, it is for your good that I'm going. Because now that I am gone, he can be with you and in you forever, amen. You say, what was the big deal, Brother Brian? Was the Holy Spirit always here? Did you know that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not come to reside in anyone? The Holy Spirit came upon you for a while. Let's pick Samson. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson and he left. He came on him to do a particular task and he would leave him. And then if you remember, at the very end of his life, the Holy Spirit came upon Samson again when he was blind. And the Spirit came on him and gave him the incredible power. And he was able to pull the columns of that building and it collapsed and everybody died. But the Spirit of God would come upon someone for you to achieve a task and then he would leave you. But praise God, we don't have that problem today. Amen. Because we now have the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to live with us and be in us forever. Do you like that? In us forever. Now, sometimes I listen to people praying and I will hear individuals praying and they will say, Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, by the way, there is actually a very famous man in the Bible who prayed that prayer. His name is David. And in Psalm 51:11, David prayed that prayer. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And so guess what? Christians all over the world are still praying that prayer. The only thing is that they misunderstand that there was a change in the operation of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. That prayer was a wonderful prayer prior to Pentecost. Before prior to Pentecost, the Spirit of God would come upon you and he would leave you. But that prayer ain't good anymore. Because if you're a child of God, the Spirit of God, he never leaves you. You don't have to pray and ask him not to leave you because he will never leave you. You see, listen, that is settled. The Lord Jesus Christ promised. He says, I will pray the Father. He will send the Comforter to be in you and with you forever. But second, Jesus instructed them to wait for his arrival. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said to his disciples, this is after his resurrection. And he says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard him speak about me. And this is why in the film that you just watched, that short video, this is why Simon Peter, after the Spirit of God came upon them, he says, we can now leave. You see, he's saying we can now leave because Jesus says, don't leave until I send the Spirit of God. Now, some people teach that since Jesus said you were to wait, and I want to clarify something here because there is some false teaching going around, and I want to help my young Christians, because sometimes individuals will confuse you and they will say to you that now that you're saved, you need to tarry, you need to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. They said, Jesus said you need to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. And so every time you get saved, you got to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. The only problem is Jesus was saying to wait. And he said when the Holy Spirit was arriving. And he said it was going to arrive in a few days. And in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit arrived. And so young person, older person, no Christian needs to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. I preach at a church not far from here, and the pastor, he said he got saved on such and such a day, and he says 16 years later, whatever number of years later, he received the Holy Spirit. That is false theology. You can't, if you are truly saved, you receive the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 tells us, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. You cannot belong to Christ unless the Spirit of God lives in you. And the moment you say yes to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to take up his residence in you. Amen.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church, The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So you says, okay, so where are we going? Number one, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And so Acts chapter 2 was read in your hearing, and I'll read those words again. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And what an amazing experience that must have been. Oh, the video, he puts it in his terms. But what an amazing experience it must have been to be there. The Spirit of God had shown up. He had shown up with Pentecostal power. Amen. There are a few things I want you to notice, though, about the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Number one, this was the birth of the church. If anyone asks you when was the birth of the church, the birth of the church was right here in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the promise Jesus had given that believers would be indwelt by the Holy Spirit had now happened. The church was born. But secondly, not only was it the birth of the church, the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place. And if you notice in Acts chapter 1, verse number 5, it tells you there, it says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you would be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The baptism, now this gets a little bit complicated, so stay with me here. And if you don't get it, come and see me after. But I want you to understand that the baptism of the Spirit was a one-time event. Jesus actually said, stay here. The baptism is about to take place. And Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I'm going to have it put on the board for you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 tells us this. For we were, what? All baptized by one Spirit, so as to do what? Form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, saved or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Don't miss this. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to merge us all into one body. Do you see that in 1 Corinthians 12, 13? We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to do what? To form one body. This is critical because if you remember in some of the previous discussions we have had, we have spoken to you from Ephesians chapter 2 where the Spirit of God pointed out that there was this huge difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. And you remember, we Gentiles were the Gentile dogs. We were without hope, without God. We were strangers to the promises of God. We were on the outside wall peering over. But praise God, the day the veil of the temple was rent in twain, God gave access not only to Jews to his presence, but God has allowed every single human being to benefit from the goodness of God. And as a result, what we're seeing here, and we don't have time to get to go there, but if we had time, we'd go to another chapter in Ephesians where this Apostle Paul opens and exposes the mystery of Christ. That from the very foundation of the world, it was God's intention to bring both the Jews and the Gentiles into this one body of Christ. So this is the purpose of the baptism. The baptism is to make us all the one body of Christ. Here's another name for it. He has brought us all into the church. There's not a separate church for Jews and a separate church for Gentiles, a church for this race and a church for that race. We are all one in Christ Jesus, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place. And anytime a Christian, whenever you become a Christian, you appropriate what happened at Pentecost. Amen. It's not a brand new baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism took place. You say, that's impossible. I wasn't even born yet. But are you aware that even before you were born, God had already chosen you to become a member of the bride of Christ? Did you realize that? And the same God who had already chosen you from before the very foundation of the world, that same God had already decided to baptize you into the body of Christ. Amen? Now, a gentleman asked me a question just a few days ago, and he says, "My brother Brian, since God has chosen some, has chosen us for salvation," and I'm going to say this, although I didn't intend to, well, I guess I don't need to do anything. If I'm to be saved, I'll be saved. Guess what? The same God who has chosen has also determined the method of salvation. He has determined, he has set out the means of salvation. And you cannot be saved unless you personally exercise your will and open your heart to Jesus and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today." That's how you get saved. The means of salvation is your repentance and your belief and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're here this morning, we trust that you're going to do just that. But number three, not only do we have the birth of the church and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but thirdly, we see three signs of his arrival. The Holy Spirit came in dramatic fashion. God was doing a brand new thing. And he gave three signs to signal this, I'm going to call it a game-changing event. And as we continue studying the book of the Acts, man, you're going to see that what happened at Pentecost was a game-changer. Can you imagine that this 120 guys who were hiding in the room, hang on to your seat. Because you're going to see how, as we go through this, the chapters, you're going to see how this 120 who are hiding. In fact, in the very chapter, Peter stands up boldly to proclaim the gospel of Christ. This was a game changer. And to make it clear that this was a game changer, God sent three signs. The problem is, Christians are telling you that anytime you get saved, you ought to see these signs. I hope you don't get confused. These signs were a signal to everyone that God was introducing the great game changer. And the great game changer was the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.